You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, the end of this year for the Marlins has to be something of a disappointment, but around the organization, around the city, is it fair to say this would be considered a pretty good year for the Marlins organization and, frankly, for the team on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw a lot of growth. I think you saw a lot of improvement. You know, they played hard for Red. You saw the start of stability, which is something that Giancarlo Stanton talked about before the season started. You know, it looks like there's a good foundation of a good solid team in place. Obviously, disappointment to not carry it all the way to the final week, but eliminated with nine games to go. But really, you know, we talked about last week, pretty much when Stan got hit in the face, it kind of took the air out of the balloon for the season, and you just kind of felt the team felt that was too much to overcome, and now it's just, you know, about carrying the positives and, you know, seeing how they can, you know, some pieces like Enrique Hernandez and Justin Bourhouse, some of these guys could step up in the final, you know, few games and see how they do and get some pieces as we move towards 15.
They're not going to fall short by two or three games, so it may be an unfair question, but in retrospect, how much different do you think this season looks if they have Jose Fernandez all year?
Yeah, it's probably a lot, you know, because they're probably, you know, would have been there with the Braves for most, assuming the Nationals, which, you know, the clear-cut favorite from the beginning. Once they got healthy and hot, they were going to be hard to catch by anybody. But the Braves were certainly realistic. We saw what the Mets have done, you know, with a late run. I thought that they could have at least taken second place and maybe made that, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Giants have something to sweat about. You know, just as you know, what an ace brings in terms of the innings they log, the stress they take off the bullpen, the offense doesn't feel like they have to do as much, to how it energizes, and then couple them with, you know, Anderson Alvarez, Jared Kozar, you know, they had the makings of a very strong rotation. So, yeah, it is a bit of what if, but as you know, all teams have, you know, had their share of adversity and lost their star players. What we saw was the Marlins just didn't have enough high-end depth, you know, to carry it all the way to the finish.
What are the expectations for Fernandez next year? How much will he be able to pitch if things go well, and how big a part of the 2015 club is he expected to be?
Well, just his quick timeline, October 1st, he's been cleared to start his throwing program. So he'll start off at about 30 feet at 3 minutes and then take it from there. Knowing him, he'll be eager to go, but, you know, right away, but knowing, you know, the timeline now on these starting pitchers, 14 months seems to be kind of the area that and the mark benchmark that doctors are recommending. So I'm anticipating, you know, Fernandez being in the rotation around the All-Star break. And if he comes back as is and they can get, you know, a more solid top of the rotation to go into 15 to bridge those first couple of months, it would almost be like acquiring an ace at the trade deadline, you know. So it could be a huge game changer for the 15 season, assuming there's no serious setbacks and he returns to a level that many would expect.
What do you expect the 2015 rotation to look like, at least at the beginning of the year?
Well, I'm anticipating them either making a trade or a free agent signing. So I think that there could be a, you know, somebody there. That we don't know who it is just yet. But right now, I would think Anderson Alvarez would be your opening day starter. Jared Kozar would be number two. And, you know, Tom Kohler has really made a name for himself, a good solid year. He's going to not hit 200 innings, but he's going to make all of his starts. He's the one guy that pretty much went start to finish. You know, he would be in the mix for three. You know, Nathan Eovaldi is a guy who's really, really dropped off in the second half. He had an encouraging start the other day, wasn't a win, but he, you know, showed some signs that, you know, better than the 6 ERA he was posting most of the second half. So, you know, he's a guy who is going to have to be, you know, seriously watched and, you know, kind of monitored to see if this guy is going to be what they thought he can be in terms of quality of arm, and he's 24 years old. You don't want to quit on that just yet, but, you know, there's going to be pressure on him, but he'd shape up as about four. And then you'd see, you know, the Andrew Heaneys and, you know, Brad Hand. You know, he was out of options this year. He's had moments. A left-hander with a good arm but hasn't had the consistency. So those guys, Anthony DeSclafani, those type of guys would be fighting for number five, I would say, if they stayed within in-house.
When you talk about an external addition, are we talking a warm body back of the rotation kind of guy, or are we talking something more significant?
No, I think they're talking a game changer. You know, I think there could be either a major move, or if they shell out money for a Shields or someone like that, I think that they want somebody that when Jose gets back, you go, wow, they got two number ones. You know that type of guy. I think that's what they're. That's their dream. Apparently, they didn't say who the name was, but just, you know, talking to the front office people after the trade deadline, there was something close to that was really in the works, but never got to the point where the trigger got pulled.
So do you anticipate that this could be a winter where the Marlins spend some significant money?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to, whether they do on – you know, getting Yelich and Ozuna and Echevarria and, you know, Alvarez is hitting arbitration. You know, they're gonna spend some money just on their own inventory. Now, whether Stanton signs, that's gonna say a lot. If he doesn't, they would carry him arbitration and maybe use some of that money they were earmarking for him on more of a high-end free agent or international signing or, yeah, something like, or trade to acquire somebody to make a little money. So I think there's a realization that payroll obviously has to go up. So I think it's going to be a very interesting and very busy offseason for the Marlins.
So not to put too fine a point on it, but is 2015 kind of the year that they were sort of rebuilding towards when they took it down a couple years ago?
Well, I don't know if they thought it'd be 15 or 16, but you know, I think we talked about, you noted a while back, you thought they might be a year ahead of schedule, but let's make it clear, 15, they're going for it. You know, I think that's pretty safe to say. They feel that with Stanton reaching his prime, and they hope to have him more than a year or two, but, you know, with him there, with Jose Fernandez being as good as anybody, with, you know, Ozuna and Yelich, they feel like they got an outfield as good as anybody, and, you know, they feel they have the makings of a really solid rotation. Their bullpen, ERA-wise, has been very good in the second half. I think they think the pieces are there. They're not a perfect team, but as you see, there's really not that team out there. That 15 is going to be a year they're going to really kind of go for it.
Are there any takeaways? And I know you're not suggesting, and I don't think anybody expects them to have the kind of blowout winter they had 3 years ago, but are there any takeaways or lessons from 2012, the last time they really took a step forward and really thought, hey, this is a year that we're going to be a major factor? Is there anything they take from that season that informs building this next Marlins team that really expects to contend?
Yeah, there is. They, you know, the PR hit they took, Matthew, was substantial, and, you know, they still haven't restored it all. And until they not only sign people but retain people, and that's why Stanton is such a symbol. If Stanton signs long term, that's a sign of the one guy, probably the most skeptical and the most outspoken on the roster, that he buys in, that they would hope that resonates outward. But, you know, just talking to people in the front office, they don't want to ever endure what happened in 13. You know, the players that were through there to lose 100 games and, what were they, 14 and 41 after 3 months or something, you know, they never want to feel that again. So, you know, their goal is like pretty much everybody. You know, they want to get to the postseason. They want to make the building that they will be year four work for them, not against them. There's obviously work to be done, but, you know, there's more positive energy, Matthew, I've seen on this team in the last 5-6 years. Togetherness, you know, you're going to have an offseason where there's no either change of manager or general manager or president of baseball ops. You know, we haven't seen many years like that here. It's usually this time of year I'm scrambling to see who's the next manager going to be, or the next, you know, what's going to happen with the GM. You know, so it's, you know, you finally seem to have that stability, and I think they finally feel they have the pieces that are fitting together. Now they want to see it, you know, grow out externally.
One spot we've talked a good bit about this year is second base. What do you expect second base to look like next season?
I think we're going to probably see a trade or two that's going to bring somebody in. But if not, Donovan Solano, Enrique Hernandez, I think you might have to see another one of those type of, you know, match up, you know, go with a grinder type of guy. But ideally, I think they want to get Echeverria, a double play partner that he knows is out there every time he's out there. So whether that guy exists or not, I think that's going to be high on their shopping list. So, yeah, I would think trade would probably be the way to go on that. And I think they're probably going to move some players that we're thinking they may not. I mean, Eovaldi's hitting arbitration. Cishek's going into year two. You know, these are guys that might bring back the kind of return they're hoping for. But, you know, they're also, you know, dealing within a budget like most teams are. And, you know, they're going to have to be careful to not scale they don't really want to do the Cishek for prospect type trade. They're going to have to get something that's tangible on the big league roster.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.